is a Bramble Jam podcast.
Hi, I'm Bran, and I love Hallmark Hanukkah movies.
Hey, it's Panda, and I like Hallmark Hanukkah movies.
I'm Dan, and I despise Hallmark Hanukkah movies.
I'm Jonathan, and I think if you don't like Hallmark Hanukkah movies, you're an anti-Semite.
And this is the Deck the Hallmark podcast. You know, boy. I saw it. I literally saw the train coming when you said you love Hallmark Hanukkah movies.
Right.
And I just stood on the tracks and took it.
Yeah,
I
you
just
did.
Stood there and just got railroaded.
And you know who had the conductor's hat?
You know, by the way, the whole train, railroad, Schindler's List. Why? I mean, why would you go there? This is a festive night.
This is a
why
record.
Why would you do that?
This is a record for as quickly as we've gotten offensive. That's it's a record.
We did it, guys.
It's a record. Shapiro beats his own record.
You did it, man. It's going to be hard to top.
That's right.
Yeah. Good night, everyone. Thank you.
Jonathan, happy Hanukkah to you. I think it's over at this point. I don't know. But was it a good one? What was the best day?
Oh, the best day of Hanukkah was when... what was the best day of Hanukkah? The best day of Hanukkah was when we lit the candles the first night and celebrated the fact that everybody was healthy and alive.
Absolutely.
And that was the best. That was the best.
Absolutely. Love it. 2021. This is my favorite tradition where Jonathan Shapiro comes on.
Really is.
Once again, joining us to review the one singular Hallmark Hanukkah movie of 42.
One out of 41.
That's exactly right. So that's not bad.
That's about as many Jews as are in the country. So that's about right.
So I'm very excited to dive into this one because it's I don't know. It could be one for the ages. You never know with the Hallmark ones.
No.
It's always like maybe they'll hit it. Maybe they won't. We'll find out.
Yeah.
But before we do, the book is out. It's out and running. And Running Press, and you're going to want to pick it up for the holiday season because you're running out of time to buy it before it's worth.
Oh, hey, by the way, is there a limit on how many I can buy?
There isn't, Jonathan. You buy all of them if you want.
So I could buy all of them. Yeah. Also, just I didn't mean to interrupt. Am I in the back with a blurb?
Yes, you are on the back of the book with a blurb, Jonathan. Okay. Jonathan Shapiro,
and there's no extra cost for that, right? You just get that with the book.
That's right. You get a Jonathan Shapiro blurb with the book.
Yep.
Yeah. And like there's more inside the book.
There is.
You read the blurb, you really don't
because
need to read
your episodes, Jonathan, you get quoted in your episodes in the book. So you're all Jonathan Shapiro's on probably 6 to 8 pages of this thing.
This means more to me than I could possibly pretend.
You said it, pal. You said it. The Universal Yums holiday box is here, everybody. You're gonna want to pick that up.
Yes, sir.
Red box, which means it's special.
Oh wow.
It's not special. Red box like the DVD things at CVS.
Right.
Not those. Red, it's a red holiday
it's
box.
It's a red holiday
of
box.
Snacks from around the world.
Yeah, and today on our YouTube, there's an unboxing where we try the treat. So that's very exciting.
Fantastic.
That's a great way to start your week.
Yes.
And go to universalyums.com.
I love to watch you guys eat. It's actually the best diet. Program I've got.
I watch
you guys eat, and I can't touch food for days.
That's fair.
That's what we're trying. That's
it's like a nature film.
It's the close-ups. We should stay wide. We should stay wide, and that's fair. Yeah. To be fair, at this point, you're running out of time gift-wise. I mean, with the Postal Service and the shipping delays and everything, you might as well go ahead and order that Universal Yum subscription for a gift because – it's the best gift. Everyone's happy with it. Mm-hmm. It's variety. It's something new every month. It's a gift that keeps giving.
Try it.
All year long.
Promo code Hallmark can get you up to $30 off. So there's the deal for you. And last but not least,
$30
what a time.
Off. How much does this thing cost?
Just don't. It's
three
for a subscription.
Sizes.
It's for a subscription monthly.
Yeah.
He thought it was a one-off box.
No, it wouldn't make a very expensive box.
No, no.
That, okay.
6 months.
No, that's a huge deal. Great deal.
Thank you, Jonathan. That Greenville, South Carolina, the tree is lit, boys.
Oh, yes,
lit.
It is.
How about that parade last night?
Oh, what a parade.
Come on.
What
ice
a parade.
On Maine, the whole bit.
Jonathan, you've ever been in a parade?
I have been paraded through crowds on occasion, but I've never actually been in a parade. I'd like to be. I'd like to lead a parade. And I'd like to wear white – wait, excuse me. I'd like to wear white boots and a spangly outfit.
Ooh.
Seems very specific.
We should get Jonathan to be the grand marshal of the Greenville Parade next year. Greenville, South Carolina. I think that would be wonderful.
Wow. How fast do I have to run it?
Yeah. The Greenville Hanukkah Parade is just huge. Yeah,
it is. It's massive.
Color me in. And you know what I'll do is I'll set up a table to sort of give tax advice and maybe
legal advice, tax advice. You just give it all in one location.
That's exactly what
you
do. Yes.
Yeah.
All right. I love that. I like, and this is all.
By the way, there's a shot clock here. Is when is the quarter over? Because
don't worry about the clock. You're good. Don't worry.
Don't worry.
Okay. Plenty of time.
Plenty of time.
Are we ready? 8 Gifts of Hanukkah.
Let's do
it. Is this it? 8 Gifts of Hanukkah originally aired on December 3rd, 2021, and it went a little something like this. Sarah has recently gotten into online dating and she hates it. And apparently she also hates Santa. That is until she met a British fella named Nigel, who also happens to be like a TV chef. She heads into work and tells her friend Keisha and Daniel about the date. Then this guy named Adam comes in, and apparently he's always, quote unquote, losing his glasses just so he has an excuse to see her. He finally asks her out, and she agrees to coffee. So good, not great. Daniel talks to her about her having 2 dates now, gives her a hard time, and a dreidel. Sarah is on a committee at her local synagogue to plan a Hanukkah event, and her ex-boyfriend Paul is there. Sarah feels a little uncomfortable when Paul asks if they can still be friends, but what do you say to that? No. It's night one of Hanukkah, and of course Daniel is over with her family. We find out that he grew up next door, and he's very close to the family, best friends with her brother, and they go outside and they find this bouquet of white roses with a letter. Sarah has a secret admirer. It's time for her coffee date with Adam, and it turns out that he sold a tech company and wants to bring her to San Francisco on a private jet for dinner. Cool. After the date, she goes to meet up with Daniel at his fancy house that he built himself with his own hands, and they try to figure out who the admirer is, and they get all flirty with chess, as you do. The next gift comes with it's a basket with chocolate, and it says that she's sweeter than chocolate. So that's so sweet. Luckily, Daniel he has a knockout Forrest Gump impression that he's been, you know, saving for a rainy day, and apparently it's pouring today. Nigel brings a picnic to Sarah, and she thinks that the date went swell. But then ex-Paul is like, hey, I miss you. And I does this woman have like new perfume on or something? Like this 4 dudes very into her. Everyone loves Sarah. Daniel tells his buddy that he's the one that's giving the gift. So now we know halfway through the movie, thank God. And it's night 4 and the gift is a watch because Sarah makes time stand still. That's good. Daniel gets an offer to build houses in Aspen, and Sarah tells him that she would miss him. He shows up at her house and tries to tell her the truth, but can't, and instead they slow dance to this brand new song I've never heard before, Collide by Howie Day.
What?
The next day, Sarah gives Daniel what I would classify as the sexiest eye exam of all time. Adam shows up the next day with a car full of stuffed animals for kids, so that's a power move, huh? And then Paul shows up, and obviously he's trying to get her back. Daniel's just watching all this happen from a distance. The gifts keep coming, and they don't stop coming, and they're all deeply personal, like a music box that plays a song that reminds her of her grandma. Then the next night, she gets the same glasses that her grandma used to wear with a note that says, I see your face and nothing more. She says, best Hanukkah ever. Paul shoots his shot one more time, but then gets interrupted by a phone call. That might be the problem, Paul. Sarah is talking to her friend about who she thinks that it could be, and Daniel's listening in, and then he gets upset that his name isn't even brought up. So he blows up at her and is like, you ever think that it could be your old pal Daniel, huh? Think it could be Daniel? And it's at this point she realizes it might be Daniel, and he storms out. Sarah gets all fancy for a ball and shows up at Daniel's house and says that she loved him and didn't fully realize it until now. And she walks out and she says, I still don't have a date to the ball, and closes the door. Sarah breaks heart after heart at the ball, and then Daniel shows up, and the band plays what I can only imagine is a Hanukkah anthem I don't know about, Howie Days Collide. And Daniel gives her a promise ring, and they kiss and they dance, and that, my friends, was Eight Gifts of Hanukkah.
We did it.
Look at that.
Oh my right gosh. Here. That's what I'm talking about.
That's wow, that's menorah.
That one flame over there really looks like it's
calm it down. That's aggressive.
Using too much oil there on the left.
In retrospect, the 99-cent store maybe isn't the place to get Hanukkah candles, but yeah. I'm sure actually maybe we can sue.
Yeah.
Do you light your candles every night by listening to a synopsis that I read?
I do, and actually your reading synopsis is a is how we initiate love banking in my house. So
wow, it just got weird.
Well, hey, good news for you, pal. I'm gonna go to a break and read a couple ads, so you got about a minute.
Okay. We gotta take the whole that should be more than enough time.
Oh, good news, everybody. Your doctor called and he says it's time to come in.
Oh, not again. Good. I got to take a day off work and call and get an appointment and do the whole rigmarole?
No, because of ZocDoc.
Thank God for ZocDoc. Wow.
ZocDoc makes it easy so that you can set an appointment with a doctor that you can find one. You've probably forgot what a doctor is by now.
Primary care physician.
Who's that?
How's this different from a phone?
Now, it's very different because it's in an app, Jonathan, and they're paying us.
I get it. Jesus Christ, where can I get more?
Well, ZocDoc is an app where you can schedule an appointment with a primary care physician, a dentist, a dermatologist, a psychiatrist, eye doctor, or whatever specialist you need. ZocDoc has you covered. And if you go to ZocDoc.com/Hallmark, here's the thing. I know you're going to want to do this. ZocDoc.com/Hallmark, you can get the ZocDoc app, and you can sign up entirely for free. Every month, millions of people have been using ZocDoc to get back into the doctor's office to make sure that all is well. I've used ZocDoc.
Is it ZocDoc with an S or ZocDoc with a Z?
It's ZocDoc with a Z, but ZocDoc, we should talk about that after the fact. ZocDoc makes it super simple, simpler than healthcare has ever been. So go to ZocDoc.com/homework to download the app today. And don't forget, the entire season of Deck the Homework is brought to you by Philo, where you can watch all these movies, including the 8 Gifts of Hanukkah. And the DVR lasts an entire year and is fully unlimited. We're giving you 25% off 2 months by going to philo.tv/DTH. That's philo.tv/DTH. And we're back.
Really interested to see at this point if the ZocDoc check ever comes through.
I think it will, actually.
Hey,
actually,
things worked out with the leprosy group. Why wouldn't it work out with ZocDoc?
Hey, good news. ZocDoc's in for more. So
fantastic.
So the check is on its way.
The check is on its way.
And you, no takesies backsies, ZocDoc. No takesies backsies.
Hey, you know what? Maybe we could sue.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm just going to keep coming back to that. The running theme.
That Sue joke is going to land by the end of the show.
Got to just keep doing it.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. If you don't, I will sue. 8 Gifts of Hanukkah. Let's talk about it. Let's start with the hot take. Panda, I always start with you because you are America's favorite hot taker.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Thank you.
That's true. And so I do want to see what you think about this one. 8 Gifts of Hanukkah. How you feeling, pal?
Oh, let me tell you, I have never enjoyed a Hanukkah movie more.
Okay.
Great.
there it is. This year's crop of movies overall, I have this easily in my top five, and I have to think about, like, for the Christmas movies. And so I've got a
what a crop.
What a crop.
What a crop.
It's a good one.
It's a great crop.
They've been fertilizing them well.
Okay.
And they've come in and they're delicious. And this is top five. I love this movie. Sarah is wonderful. Daniel grew on me. I was intrigued with the plot. I liked the other B-list of characters they brought into this movie. The plot kept kind of rolling around. There's definitely some wait what's in this movie.
Oh, for sure.
And we'll get to those. But man, overall, I really enjoyed this movie overall. It gave me a lot of feels. Anytime you bring in Howie Day, I'm thrilled. Howie Day Collide is just a gem of a
bastion
song.
Of all things Hanukkah.
It really sure is.
Howie you guys Day's... play it every night of Hanukkah, yes, right? Exactly is that right, Jonathan? Every night you guys break out the vinyl. Howie Day Collide.
Our rabbi is actually Howard Day. Day.
No, he's Howard Day to you.
He's Howard Day.
Yes. Jonathan, what'd you think of the 8 gifts of Hanukkah?
Greatest Hanukkah movie ever made. period. And we've reached a level of assimilation and equality as a people that now we can have cheesy holiday movies.
That's right.
That have every cliche and every humiliating line and every question raised as Christians. You can have your 42 Christmas movies where the girl is a nuclear physicist and the guy's a chef and they have to live in different towns and therefore they can't get to the get blah 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 blah, and now we can have it too. And
that's right.
And I look forward to the day when gay people and people of color and poor people and homeless people and non-Canadians can have their own cheesy, ridiculous, inane holiday movie, because we as Jews have reached the promised land.
I mean, come on.
That how is that not going to be on the DVD cover?
Beautiful. We're going to put that out of context.
What are you talking about? This is my campaign. I'm actually now running for president of the United States.
We're actually going to put that on the next edition of the book out of context. In the back. Just going to say, we as Jews have reached the promised land. Yeah. Jonathan Shapiro. And it's going to be wild.
Okay. And as many people suspected, it's in South Carolina.
That's right. Yes, where it is.
Yeah, that Greenville
hotbed.
I absolutely love this movie. It is now my number two movie of the year so far. Wow. Absolutely adored this film. Pana, you knocked it out of the park, pal. The cast of characters makes this movie what it is. It's just a whole gaggle of fun times. I really liked both of the leads a ton. I thought that their dynamic was just fantastic. Mm-hmm. The lead gal here is just incredible. What's her name? Anybody know?
Inbar Lavi.
Love it.
Yes.
Love Inbar it. Love Lavi. Her.
You know what Inbar means in Hebrew? It means amber.
Okay. Oh, cool. Fantastic.
Thank you.
Thank you for that.
She was just a delight. So fun. Just brought a lot that we, you know, it just felt like it felt fresh.
Yep.
The movie felt fresh. And it just did. It just worked for me out of the park. And I say that having watched this movie in a hotel room at 3:30 in the morning because I couldn't sleep. That's how good this movie was, that I could wake up at 3:30 in the morning, not being able to sleep, and this movie still hold my attention and be number two of the year for me. That's how good this movie is. Dan?
Did the wife throw you out while you were in the hotel?
We had to travel to Los Angeles, Jonathan.
Thanks for calling. It was great. Hey,
well, Jonathan, we were there for 14 total hours, and that was including a night's sleep in a hotel. So, but you were on the list. You didn't quite make it, but you were on the list.
I thought about texting you at 3:30.
In a hotel, we have a cot and we have a couch and we have the floor.
You don't three, do it, Jonathan.
I would be honored to have you guys stay with us.
Don't invite us like that, because we will. Hotels are expensive. We'll do it, Jonathan. We'll take you up on it.
They say Jews are cheap, and yet you won't pay for a hotel. But my point is this. Go on. I interrupted. Yeah. I'm sorry.
So here's the thing: Jonathan's right. This movie does have all of the classic hallmarks of a Hallmark film, and it has plenty of wait what's to go around and plenty of eye roll moments. Having said that, this movie has a lot to recommend in it. Mm-hmm. And this is why representation matters. Like it just does. The Hanukkah movies before this movie are like you know, after school specials. It's like, hi, we have a lot of fun here at Hallmark, but we never joke about educating you on the basics of Hanukkah. And then it becomes this, this person that's like, so what do you mean there's eight lights? And then they explain terribly what Hanukkah is. This movie doesn't do that. This movie doesn't have one lead who's a Christian celebrating Christmas and one lead who's a Jew celebrating Hanukkah. It's a Hanukkah movie from start to finish. Mm-hmm. They celebrate it and they treat it like an actual holiday, which it is. They treat it with the respect it deserves. Yep. And they do so from such a loving angle. Jake Epstein, phenomenal. Inbar Lavi, absolutely adorable, mm-hmm. wonderful. Maybe one of my new, if not favorite leads. I love her. Oh my goodness, did I love her in this movie. She's wonderful. A joy to watch on screen. It is up there for me. Mm-hmm. It is up there. It is a top three, maybe a top two for me for the year, because they never have the scene that I'm waiting on in these movies that kills me. And it's the scene where the one guy's like, okay, so tell me about this Hanukkah. And then they describe it and they don't have to do it. They eschew that completely. And they let you really dig in on the tradition of it. And it feels fresh and new. And I really appreciated it. And I just enjoyed myself and it felt like it flew by. So kudos to you, Hallmark.
By the way, what a shock to see Tarantino make a movie like this.
That's right. You know, listen, and you know, Quentin has such a hard time editing it down. I bet the stuff on the cutting room floor is fantastic.
Fantastic. Yeah,
absolutely.
Wow. What a job by that guy. Let's get to the feels.
Martin Scorsese helped him. It was like a co-write is what it was.
You could tell.
Yeah. He knows Hanukkah movies better than anybody. That's Scorsese.
Jewish, I believe. My father believes he's Jewish. But anyway, it's another story.
Wow. Yes. I got to hear that story at some point.
Yes.
Let's get to the feels, all the feels, if you will. We're talking about one of the movie gave us feels. Panda?
Man, there's a lot of them. One of the best ones was the eye exam thing.
Oh my gosh.
Sweet Moses. That was, but still not my favorite one. My favorite one is the chess scene.
Of course it is.
I'm a chess boy. I love it.
chess scene was wonderful.
Tell me you're a nerd without telling me you're a nerd. What's up, guys?
There's been chess in two movies, and Panda's just been batting lead off both nights. Like, where's the chess? Yes,
I love it, man. I just absolutely love it. Here's the deal. That is, the looks they're giving each other. Mm. And then she says to him, hey, sometimes you've just got, he says, I've got to make my next move. I'm not sure what it is. And she goes, sometimes you've just got to make the move.
Mm. Mm.
You said it, big guy. Oh, man.
Wait a minute. So when they were playing chess, they were actually kind of talking about the relationship.
I know. You should take some notes, Jonathan. You make TV. This is good stuff here.
I need a pencil.
Any feels for you, Jonathan?
All of them. Every second she was on the screen, she's the most beautiful woman who has ever lived. Obviously, I'm married to a Jewish woman. My mother's a Jewish woman. My daughter's a Jewish woman. I happen to be fond of Jewish women. In the realm of Jewish women, this woman is the most wonderful woman who has ever lived. She's the best actress who's ever lived. I don't care that it sounds like she took a big hit of helium before she talks. I don't care that she has a kind of a pointy chin. She is the greatest living actor since Gal Gadot became Wonder Woman. Or Scarlett Johansson graced our screens.
That's right.
This is why I feel we're the chosen people. That That's we right. can produce a woman like this. So I had feelings the whole time that she was on the screen, and they were carnal feelings. Secondly, I feel this way about the Christmas movies. Whenever good-looking, well-lit people pray, regardless of what they're praying, I'm always moved by that.
Yeah, you said that in the last year. I think there was a scene, and then you said you were really moved. Like you're right.
Yeah,
like
it is moving. I'm glad, first of all, that you remember anything I said, and secondly, I guess I must always feel that way. But it, you know what it is? It reminds us how lucky we are to live in America, and the undergirding of this movie, the reason why this movie is so moving to me, and maybe to others, is, you know, the holiday celebrates what it celebrates. But the fact we can celebrate, if you're Jewish and if you live in this country, you can never just not be incredibly grateful that we're safe to do this. I'm sorry to get serious there for a second, but you
know,
no, that's great. Were,
there was carnal feelings for the star and patriotic feelings that the First Amendment exists.
Fantastic.
I love it.
I mean, and he's not, he's just, I mean, 100% right. I like the representation here. We have, so like, my wife is Asian American, and when Big Hero 6, the Disney movie, came out with an Asian American lead, my wife was an adult. We were married. And I remember her watching the movie at home and tearing up and going, this didn't exist when I was a kid. Like, I didn't get to do this and see this and be like, that's me on screen being the hero. And so in a world of Hallmark, where we have movies that can represent, you know, people, and people love these movies, why not have that representation across the spectrum to all religions and creeds and give people the opportunity to have representation and to be proud of where they've come from? Gosh, it's wonderful. Jonathan was moving there. You were moving, Jonathan.
Like, really?
I got chills.
Really?
I got chills.
From what I said? Yes. Still need that pencil.
Panda, you said it. You snuck it in there. That eye exam scene. I've got to be honest. I want to say that whoever wrote this movie just threw some like scenes in a hat and said, I'm going to pull this scene out and I am going to make it the hottest darn scene you've ever seen on television. And she pulled out eye exam.
And keep a movie rated TVG.
Yes. She pulled out eye exam and she was like, challenge accepted, because boy howdy, that movie, that was just.
I've never wanted to change my eye doctor more.
No kidding.
Eye doctor, whenever I get it, they're very disappointing.
Right. In comparison. I need to get an eye doctor at this point.
Dan?
Yeah. So I actually, I was actually kind of angry at this movie, because as good as the movie is, it really rushes the ending so unfairly in this movie. Like, I looked and there's 2 minutes left and my man has not even gotten to the matzo ball yet. Like, he hasn't gotten there yet. And it just seems so rushed. Like, this grand romantic gesture didn't have the time it deserved. And I was upset about that. But then also,
you know, we once had to rush out of a place so fast.
Oh, boy.
Even let the bread rise.
Oh,
and you're complaining about that.
Yeah, that is.
We had to run through the desert.
That's
with the Pharaoh's army behind us.
Listen,
with unleavened bread.
Listen, Jonathan, I have read that testament and the new one, and I can tell you my complaint stands. And then to make it even more about my privilege, these two leads are named Daniel and Sarah.
Oh.
And that is me and my wife. My wife is Sarah and I'm Daniel. And so I love that. I thought that was wonderful. And it made me happy to be married.
It's all
married
about
to.
You.
That's exactly right. You heard it correctly.
Let's take a quick break and see which sponsors we can offend next here on Deck the Halls.
You're running out of time.
What? Is it Blind Chalet?
No.
Okay.
If you haven't finished your holiday shopping yet, this says don't panic, but I would say panic. But the good news is this. I have got a secret source of incredible gifts that I'm going to share with you. And it's not as weird as it sounds. It's Uncommon Goods. Uncommongoods.com has the best gifts for everyone in your life. Moms, dads, teens, in-laws, besties, pandas, Dans, Shapiros, whoever you need, they got you covered. They got amazing lists. You go on there and you say, I got to find a fun gift for dad. You go to the dad section. They knock it out of the park every single time. This is how I do my Christmas shopping now. I go to Uncommon Goods and I buy everything from there.
It's fantastic.
Because they have such amazing gifts that I can't really find anywhere else, and it's super easy to find for the specific people that you're looking for. Uncommon Goods offers uncommon experiences, mixology gifts, cooking gifts, flower arranging, whatever your person might be into, the chances are they got it. And with every purchase you make with Uncommon Goods, they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. and they've donated more than $2.5 million to date. That's not common. So go to uncommongoods.com/deck to get 15% off your next gift. That is uncommongoods.com/deck for 15% off. This is limited time. There's not a lot of time left. uncommongoods.com/deck.
We're back, everybody. Welcome back to Deck the Hallmark.
What's this?
What I'm just right trying now? A new thing.
Okay. How do you think it's like going?
It. Not okay. Thank you.
Let's get to the way what. It's part of the show. We talk about one of this movie made us go way what, and I'll start with you, Panda.
Okay. People in this date or in this movie set dates and they say, hey, let's go get coffee, and then never set times for them. And I find that very interesting. It has always been my opinion that when you go ask somebody out, you sit there and you try to solidify it or else.
No, leave it open for coffee all day.
People are never busy.
If they meet at the same time, it's meant to be.
Yeah.
It's a luck of the draw situation.
Where is this Hanukkah committee meeting?
I will say this. Rena on the Facebook was talking about how many JCC meetings she went to as a kid.
Yeah.
Seemed to had no issue with the room they were meeting into the number of people there.
All right.
And so, because I was like, is this some just like, you know,
it's less about the people. It's more that you're meeting in the dead center of a gym.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like what the basketball court. Yeah. Like, why?
Well, that's where the elders of Zion generally meet to set financial rates.
The mega tech billionaire, he just brings over a load of toys. Could he not box them at some point? I mean, they're just like.
Well, they wouldn't have all fit in his Tesla.
Fair.
if he boxed them, he would have had to get a truck and he didn't want to hurt the environment.
That's true.
I mean,
the Tesla truck's not out yet to the public.
Yeah, exactly.
You got to wait. Yeah.
My final wait what is this, and it's to me the most glaring one. How does Sarah not figure out it's Daniel after the music box?
The music box.
The music box is the dead giveaway. And literally she walks out directly after that, and he's sitting there like, I miss Bubby. And then she's like, I too miss Bubby. And it's just so ironic that Bubby had this song that she loves
That's specifically right.
That no one else could humanly figure out.
Yes.
I don't know. No one else. It's not Nigel. She just met the guy. Guy's cooking.
Dude, like, you'd be surprised though what Nigel can figure out.
Dude, Nigel's that guy?
That guy can whip stuff up.
I guess.
Well, the only other person
is Paul.
Paul at that point, who literally in the middle of saying, "Baby, please come back. I'm different.
I've changed. Takes a phone call.
I'm not working as much anymore." Takes a call, and the gumption on that young man to take that call. So he's the only one who has known her for years that could be it. And so I guess they want you to think that it's possibly him. Having said that, it is beyond the pale. How she doesn't figure
you
out.
Can't piece that one
at
together?
That point. That is
that's unreal.
Guys, she's not a nuclear physicist. Okay, she's an optometrist. How smart? Right.
Look up. Well, she just says look up. Well, I mean, how are you?
She didn't even memorize the eye chart. This is God doesn't give with two hands. She's a beautiful woman who runs a business. What do you want from her? Ruth Bader? You want Ruth Bader Ginsburg? You're going to get a different movie.
Jonathan, what are your wait what's?
Couple things. One, when they talk about a Hanukkah hunt, I didn't feel safe.
that's a bad name. It's a bad name. We don't have to be illiterate.
We have a very bad tradition. So that bothered me. It bothered me that she gets out between when she finds the third night gift.
Jonathan, I'm just telling you right now, I hate to interrupt you, but you know, some people listen to this show with their kids and they're going to have so much explaining to do. And it makes me so happy. So happy.
Well, you're a history major.
You
taught history, right?
That's right. Yes.
The kids, unless
that's right. Yeah.
One day, these things
one ride in a minivan at a time, apparently. That's what it's going to be. Yeah,
exactly right. So she walks out of the car, and the director shows us she's wearing, and she wears very high heels a lot. She must be a very wee little thing. Anyway, she walks from her car to the front door. So she walked out of the car wearing beige high heels. And when she gets to the door, she's wearing an animal print. And I went back and saw it a bunch of times. So there's a continuity issue with her shoes. But more than that, I noticed it in watching it 37 times, She has the most beautiful feet of any woman I've ever seen.
Good gracious. What is happening right now?
No, I'm with Jonathan on this one. Those feet are something.
And I guess the other what if, and it sort of gets to the JOC meeting, because I used to be on the executive board of our temple, and I resigned in protest. That checks out, really, Anthony? Sorry, that checks out. Oh, great. Okay. So according to our records here in Greenville, South Carolina, he was a member of a – anyway, my point is this. Does no one – notice that Myra is out of her mind? Myra, in case you forget, is the woman who in the middle of these meetings starts screaming, "Have you no decency?" Yes. Because they picked the wrong band.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Myra's a treat.
Myra's a treat. So I have that issue. And then I guess the last issue is, why must every Jewish man in a Hallmark movie have bad hair?
Yeah. We've all been thinking it.
This is my favorite episode of all time. It's all time. It is my all-time favorite episode of Deck the Hallmark. It's better than the Tyler Hines one from 2 weeks ago. Yep. This is it. This is the apex of what we're doing. I'm out. I don't know what else we can do after this. It's just fantastic.
Jonathan,
Doc is out. I'll tell you that right now.
So, 2 weeks ago, I took my shirt off on camera in an episode. So it's beating that. That's impressive.
That's really solid.
June 1st, 2004. Does that date matter to anybody?
Nope.
It's the date that Howie Day's Collide came out. And I don't know if Howie...
Is Howie Day Jewish? Like, is it like a thing where they're trying to... Like, I have no idea why they chose that song.
Howie have on the makers of this film? How did it happen that Howie Day woke up one day and said, "Hey, someone's going to play your song two times in a movie"? How did... In 2021.
But this is the second movie we've gotten Howie Day's Collide. We had it earlier this year.
No. Did
we? Yeah.
What movie was that?
I cannot remember it. But I think Hallmark acquired rights to this song, and they're like, "We got to get it.
We got to use it.
We got to use it.
It's free. We're not going to lose money on this."
I just love that in the Christmas movies, it's just like they put out any song, a Christmas song will do, and they'll dance to it. But with the Hanukkah movies, they're like, I mean, Howie Day's Collide, I guess, will work. I mean, what do we got? I don't know. Two times. I didn't see it coming. So they are doing they're doing dreidel. They're playing dreidel, and the guys are doing the thing where they, you know, commentates, and it's all fun and games. Awesome. And yeah.
Real bad.
And very abruptly, the Sarah's brother turns to him and says, "You should have kids." And it was very abrupt. How do you think that's gonna happen? Hey, you think you should get one of those little ones, huh? Yeah. Last but not least, my guy. I'm going back to the eye thing.
I think exam. You need to.
And this is eye exam. You know, things could get serious, and I just don't think it's the time to be throwing around eyesight analogies like that.
Yeah.
Like that could really mess up your prescription. I don't know if I can see the things that are right in front of me. That could.
You're getting glasses that are picking up satellite signals at that point. You're just like,
just saucers.
If she's not picking up what you're putting down,
that's right.
Forget about it. Now's like, not the time.
Looking the wrong way through the binoculars.
Yeah.
You're just like, everybody looks like they're in Gulliver's Travels down there, the Lilliputs. Like, what is
that? You know, in the original script, she was a dermatologist, and he just kept coming in for horrible procedures. They thought that was too much.
Yeah, yeah.
Dan? I have never seen a lead character more committed to doing everything other than her job than this woman. I got to be honest. We have a lot of scenes in the optometrist office, and unless it's a fake sexy time eye exam with her boy toy, there are people waiting to get their eyes examined, and she is looking for stuff to do. She is like, coffee date? Yeah. Yes. Cook me dinner, please. Yes. Picnic? Yeah. Let's do it.
Well, that's Obamacare. You can thank Obama.
I just have never seen an optometrist who is more committed to having her patients wait just ad nauseum for her to come and give, just do one eye exam. One, show us that you're an actual eye doctor. Speaking of which, I'm pretty sure, and most TV that I've watched, they make a point of the eye or of doctors not having relationships with their patients. Like, it's a big deal. Like, they're a patient. I'm not going to have a relationship with them. She's just diving straight into the deep end on this thing.
She's an optometrist.
Yeah, that's right.
One level above a pool guy. It doesn't make any difference.
So what you're saying is there's an optometrist loophole. Saw them live. There's an optometrist loophole.
That optometrists are getting jiggy with it with every patient they can.
Every patient they can. Yeah, because most of them don't look like that.
Hygienists. Yeah.
That's right. We have to talk about this best friend of hers, the one person in this movie that needs education on Hanukkah. They are best friends. They went into business together. And this woman doesn't know her parents, doesn't know how they met, has never been to her house, mm-mm, and has never celebrated Hanukkah with her. And also, she goes on 6 online dates and mentions none of them to her. That is the world's worst best friend,
yes,
right?
Yes.
World's worst. Like, we found her, the worst best friend. We found her. There she is. Jake Epstein's house in this movie is, he's a single Jewish carpenter.
Hold on a second. I never occurred to me. Wait a minute.
He's like a trope. He's a modest,
like
a modest Jewish carpenter.
This is what they used to call a back-end pilot. They're going to introduce him as the carpenter. They're going to have Jesus next year. They're their own Christmas movie.
We all thought it was a Jewish movie, Jonathan. That's the twist ending. Yeah.
That's the twist.
That's the Hallmark I know and love.
This is a modest Jewish carpenter, and his house has been an inn, a bed and breakfast in other Hallmark movies. I'm not making that up. Like, the abode that they use is a giant resort in other home. Why? Why does he have this giant, what amounts to be 12,000 square foot house for just him?
I don't even mind that
Jews
Hallmark.
Jews run the banks. They run the. Even a junior carpenter has millions of dollars.
I do want to be clear. After the music box, she should know. But the first two gifts are chocolate and roses, which, by all accounts, are the two most common romantic gifts in America. And after chocolate and roses, she has the audacity to goes, whoever this is, he really gets me. And I'm just here to tell you, like, it is the most common.
But roses matter.
Roses matter.
Roses matter.
What I'm saying is that those two gifts.
Yeah, sure.
Gift one, roses. Gift two, chocolate. He has not done anything that would establish a deep, intimate connection with her.
Yeah, that's true.
And she's over there like, this is it. You had me at roses. Well, what do you mean? Like, that's even the most common romantic flower. I don't know how we got there. And then lastly, I may have missed it. They're at the big dance at the end of this movie. And she goes over to Paul and she's like, I'm in love with somebody else. It's Jake Epstein. And then she goes over to the chef who she has hoodwinked into, you know, catering an entire meal after two coffee dates and just strung him along. And he's chill with it. But does she ever get around to the rich tech guy?
No.
No, he doesn't.
This poor rich tech guy has been
nothing
but a just a salt of the earth guy. And she doesn't even have, you know.
My guy stuffed his car to the brim with stuffed toys. Animals.
Gonna take her on a private jet to a restaurant. Has taken him years to ask her on a date. And she didn't even bother to say, hey, we're not dating anymore because I've met the love of my life.
Well, I still think she's going on that trip to San Francisco.
I mean, it's a private jet.
Bold.
Yeah, I think when the wheels touch ground back in Seattle, she'll tell him.
Yeah. That's all I got.
It's time for What the Hallmark Spire Show. We wonder what could have been, maybe having some clarity questions that we still have. Panda?
Well, Dan took mine. What happens to the tech billionaire? I mean, the guy is, they make it sound like he's incredibly wealthy, right?
Like, he shows up with some grand romantic gesture like the next night. She's like,
I was going to get around.
he lands a plane outside her house. And it's time to go.
I feel for this guy. Like, he's socially awkward. He's a little cringy. Like,
filthy rich, like, explaining yourself, really.
I mean, you know, my heart hurts for this dear guy. And also, I want to know what's going to end up happening with Nigel. Nigel, and really, outside of Paul, the boyfriend she ends up dating in this, or the guy she ends up dating, they're pretty good dudes.
They are.
Which is what I think makes this movie interesting. I was waiting for Nigel to just be the worst.
No.
Or this one of, but they're not bad guys. They're really good. They're charming. And so I want to know what's the fallout with them. I wouldn't even mind, hear me out, having a spinoff with those guys.
Ooh, okay.
I like those that. Guys. I would love a follow-up with those gentlemen. It.
Yeah. And with baby Jesus.
Nigel. Yeah. Right. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Jonathan,
do not. My biggest one is: do Nigel and Paul adopt a child, or do they use a surrogate?
Because that would have been too much for the people, Jonathan. It would have been too much. Story of Hanukkah movie.
Those two are so perfect together, and I was waiting for them to realize it. And I hope they make it. I wonder when someone is going to notice that Sarah's mother is Sonia Sotomayor.
Oh, wow.
The mom is a dead.
I see it now.
If Elena Kagan and Sonia Sotomayor had a child, it would be that woman.
All right. I'm going to do this real quick. I got to hit pause for you. Do either of you know who those two people are?
No.
No idea.
They are both Supreme Court justices.
Oh, goodness.
Boy, this is why none of my shows are hits.
Because you're making them for me, Jonathan. That's why they're not hits. Right.
And you're 1% of the country is the problem. Yeah. The other thing I'm curious about is, after Hanukkah is over, does she change the colors of the interior and exterior of her house, which is entirely blue and white?
It's just blue and white. Just so much blue in this movie.
So much blue, so much white. And finally, as an optometrist, are they going to change the law and allow her to wear something other than slacks and a vest?
That's fantastic.
I know who Raymond Reddington is, so I know who the important people are in life, Jonathan. Maybe you're to blame. To blame here.
I know we'll be blamed eventually. I do know that. If history is any guide.
mine's just Howie Day, and just I keep going back. It was just baffling to me. Why?
Yeah. That's
and also, Panda just looked up his Wikipedia. Apparently, not a good guy.
He's not a good guy at all. Who he was.
Hey, Howie, we hope you get on the right track.
That's
bud.
Right. Not great. That's how. Because
if not, you and I,
of course, not earned, but I love it.
No, that was not.
I just need a behind the music, like maybe a 3-hour behind the music on the bean counters. The accountant band that plays only Jewish events. I just need to know an inside story on every single one of them. I need like all the infights and all the times the band almost broke up. I need all of it, and I need it now. That's what I need from this movie.
Their songs were bops.
Yeah.
What they played, I was here for.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We did it, everybody.
Oh my gosh.
Jonathan, do you have anything that you want to promote to send to people?
I want people to act more politely in a civil society. That's all I'm trying to promote. I just want everyone to just behave better.
I love it. I love it, Jonathan.
You know what? And here's the thing. They weren't going to, and then they listened to this episode, and now
they're like, well, I have no choice.
I know there are some kids who are scarred probably for life from this episode, but they're better for it, I think.
That's right.
They needed that.
They needed it.
They needed that. Yeah. We did, everybody. Congratulations. We're going to be back tomorrow with another episode of Very Merry Bridesmaid.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Good stuff.
I think we're all going to be just as excited.
Yes.
Until then, may we be the first to wish you a Merry Hanukkah.
Happy Hanukkah. All right, then.
Deck the Hallmarks of Bramble Jam podcast. It's presented by Philo TV. It's produced by Brandon Gray and recorded live in, yeah, that Greenville, South Carolina. Set decor is by Plum at Haywood Mall. For more information on Deck the Hallmark, you can go to deckthehallmark.com. For more information on Bramble Jam Podcast Network, you can go to bramblejampodcast.com.